The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offsprings of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's Reformation Sunday. Happy 503 years. 503 years. But this is more than just a romantic idea here for us to think about for a while, what we did 500 plus years ago. Luther hated Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to come back. He tried his hardest to be everything he could, only to realize how pathetic he was. And that's what was happening inside the church. Think about it. Holy Mother Church was abusing the children of God, including Luther. And it's dangerous for us to think about the Reformation today in a romantic way, like, "A mighty fortress is our God." You know, Reformation isn't something that happened back then. Reformation is something that happens today. Reformation is what happens in here. Reformation is what happens in here, and that's anything but romantic. It's a mess. And the Lutheran Church, as it started, was a mess. The church before the Reformation was a mess. And here's the truth about it all. Anyone who has studied the scripture understands that the church is just really good at getting into messes. Not only does the church face all kinds of challenges from outside of its identity and who and what it is across its people, young and old, red and yellow, brown, black and white, but the church struggles with problems inside. And the problems at the Reformation were problems with the church inside. Couldn't blame it on the world. It was the church. And Luther started to realize that what the church was doing in his day and in his time was wrong. To be sure, you can make a lot of money if you just tell people what they want to hear. You can. You can make a lot of money by just making people afraid. But neither of those approaches honor God. And that was the challenge with the Reformation. So more than just a romantic idea for us to think about what happened so long ago, it's important for us to understand that Reformation is what happens in here and in here every day. How did Jesus say it? "If you abide in me, you will be free." And so our meditation this morning is titled, "Abide in Jesus." So keep in mind, these romantic notions of the Reformation weren't the first time. It's fascinating when you go back to this very time when Jesus addressing the Jews who believe in him, they had romantic ideas as well. They believe in Jesus, and Jesus wants to seal that by telling them about where true freedom is found, but they think to themselves, "We've never been enslaved to anything." What? You don't remember your history? You don't remember what happened when you needed Moses? You know, they forgot. They forgot. Jesus says it this way, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Of course, they answered. And then Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Boy, amen. How many ways do we get entrapped? How many ways do we become slaves again? How many ways do we forget and take on romantic notions about our Christian identity, our Lutheran identity? They are legion. I mean, we can give in and go along with the pressure. We can start just discounting our own worth, our own value. I mean, how many ways do we want to just go along and get along with our culture these days, not realizing what's at stake? How many different ways in marriage, in parenting, do we take the easy road instead of the one less traveled, becoming enslaved to our fears? How many ways? And yet, that's not God's will for you and for me. God is interested in you for all kinds of reasons. God has all kinds of things for you to find freedom in and to carry out your life for without being pressured by all the pressure in our world. You know, it's a shame we tell our teenagers, don't give in and don't go along. And if everyone else was going to jump off the cliff, would you as lemmings? And yet, how many ways do we give in to the peer pressure instead of going with God? Understanding that it's not popular. Understanding that there will be probably more challenges than less. How many ways? And so for us today, the Lord would say, abide in me and be free. And I wouldn't be surprised if everyone here would really like that. Because the cost of buckling under, the cost of going along, just isn't worth it. It costs too much. And that's what changed Luther's life. He could no longer go along. He could no longer get along. He wanted to call the church back to a biblical identity and a fundamental message that in the propitiation, what a word, that in the propitiation of Jesus, we are set free. That word propitiation, I know it's translated as sacrificial atonement. That clears it up, right? It means that Jesus took your place, that Jesus took my place for all the ways that you and I have given in and gone along into temptation, sin, and wickedness. Jesus took our place and suffered the wrath of God so that now we, for his sake, have nothing but God's favor. And that gives us freedom from what we've been, from how we failed. And it gives us a power to be what God intends us to be. And this is ours. God has assured your freedom to be all that you can be in Christ, trusting in him. We don't have to settle for anything less. We don't have to settle for anything less. Because in truth, that's what the world needs from the church. People that aren't afraid to be who they are. People who aren't afraid to admit that they struggle. People who aren't afraid to admit that they fail. People who aren't afraid to say, I don't have it all figured out, but let's talk about it and see what we can learn together. That's what this guiltful, shameful, angry-filled world needs. Because that's why God sent his son. And all of us were at one time lost as much as the world is today. And we have to understand, without the romantic ideas, what it means to abide in Jesus, what it means to be free. And that the Lord would guide us to understand those things as we trust in what he's done for us. It's not about our works, it's about trusting in the Lord. And as we trust in the Lord, we are given a humility and we are given a boldness. And will we drive people crazy? You bet we will. But is that our goal? No, we want them to understand the same thing we do. What it means to be loved, what it means to be honest, and what it means to dance not caring who's looking, because we know we have an audience of one who is madly in love with us for the sake of his son. That's really what it's about. Today, in just a few moments, Joseph Michael Valdez will confirm his faith. And he's grown up in a Christian home with a mom and a dad who know the Lord and have done their best to give examples to the young man. And he's been learning what it means to be a sinner, what it means to be forgiven, and what it means to live out that life. Today, Joseph, I'm going to be asking you to dance. Unafraid of what people will say, unafraid of what people will do. And if it's an awkward dance, dance anyway, Joseph. Just like my dancing is awkward. Our dancing is awkward. And at times, pretty crazy messy too. But when people are freed to go against the grain, to swim upstream, to go against the crowds, it's going to be messy. It's going to be awkward. But it's the gift that God would have us give to the people in our lives who need to hear the truth, who need to know what it means to be forgiven, who need to know what it means to be honest and kind and different. To live the alternative lifestyle of freedom in Christ, understanding that God has all kinds of plans for us to be who we are as his own. And what does that mean? It means that, well, if you don't like the word dance, think about it differently here. Let's read this together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God beforehand that we should dance in them. Yeah, that would be my version. Dance in them, walk in them. The idea here is that God has all kinds of plans for you, Joseph. I can't even begin to mention them all. But it's his plans for you. Just like all the plans he has for everyone here. Are we too afraid to dance? Gosh, let's confess it. If we are. If we're still trying to buck what God wants us to do, thinking we've got a better idea than he does, let's get rid of those romantic ideas and be the people we're supposed to be. Let's walk in what he has prepared. And you know, Joseph, every generation doesn't pick up what the previous generation got. And it can get on our nerves a little bit. Amen, mom and dad. But you know what's cool is that God has better things. No offense, mom and dad. God wants you to be who you are. As we were talking about the other day, you are a chip off the block and the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. But you're the next version. And God has all kinds of things prepared beforehand for you to dance in. To do, to enjoy. And the challenge across all those things is going to be the temptation to get enslaved by fear or guilt or shame or your own strong will. I want to do it this way, or why can't I do it that way? Or the pressure of others who don't have godly ideas for you. And it's in those very moments the Lord would have you trust in him and to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to dance. And it's not just about you today, young man. It's about all of us here. In some ways, we who are older have more pressure than you do. No offense. Not that the pressure's easy at any age. But it's an amazing thing to consider the kind of pressure adults can have. The kind of pressure we can put on each other. When what it's about is learning how we can live together in marriage and parenting and friendships and neighborly activity, at work, at school, or as a congregation, how we can live together, knowing that God has prepared beforehand things that we should dance in. And you know, the truth of it is that he doesn't need any of those things for himself. He knows that we need to carry those things out for all the people whose lives we touch. Because everything necessary for him to have our favor has been done by Christ. And so we live in the accomplished works of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. And it's in that I trust, and it's in that I'm freed again and again and again as I face the temptations to become enslaved, just like everyone else here. That's our life, to go forward, and when we find ourselves being tripped up, to trust in the Lord and to keep going, understanding that he's got all kinds of things for us to walk in, to dance in. You know, I've been doing this for quite some time, and I want to do it today. But I want you to keep in mind that Christ's sacrifice frees us from sin, death, the power of the devil, from guilt, from fear, from shame, and frees us to live out our lives in hope and peace and joy and love, in honest conversation, in forgiveness, in mercy, in kindness, in helpfulness. I mean, it's amazing the kind of exchange we receive in what Jesus does when he rescues us from slavery so that we can dance, knowing that God is madly in love with us, knowing that he has nothing against us now because of what Jesus has done for us, dying on the cross. Joseph and my brothers and sisters in Christ, though you and I struggle and stumble and fall, we have a freedom that renews us over and over and over again so that we can not sit it out, but dance. Today, this brand new week, I hope you all dance. And Joseph, I hope you, my little brother in Christ, will dance all your days to the glory of God. Bye. You have an audience of one, and he's madly in love with you for the sake of his son. And in his love, you can dance. You can dance. I hope you dance. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.